Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Finero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 196. Here, as always, with the two other gentlemen mentioned in the intro music every time, that we still get to say the feverish Finero and FF underscore spaceman. How the hell are you guys?
Good, good, good. This is going to be a fun show. We got two interesting people with us this evening.
And I hope the best 20 minutes of the show aren't behind us, because it's been amazing. So we still don't know if we're doing a IDP rookie mock or if we're mocking Hollywood or
a little bit of both.
If we're talking about just IDP, but something along a little bit of all of that, maybe, right? So
why not?
Pleasure to have you guys on. I don't know. You guys have always kind of been our go-to IDP guys for this. So we were going to have should we mention the people that ghosted us tonight?
I don't know.
Big timers. So
sure.
Matt Donnelly big timed us.
Yeah, isn't it Canada? Isn't it Canada Day?
It is, yeah.
Canada Day or something?
Yeah. They have to pick a day. They don't know we celebrate the 4th of July as well, but we do it all freaking week. So we've got same damn excuse, and we're still here.
I started on Tuesday.
Oklahoma Doug, I'm pretty sure he's celebrating Canada Day too. He was supposed to be here, big timed us. So
all I got to say is the Tampa Bay Lightning, USA, USA. I'm not a Lightning fan by any means, but USA is beating up on Canada. So
that's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Canada They're doing Day. That here on the podcast too. We have our two USAers.
Yeah.
So
see, I'm mocking Hollywood here. I have not been on a podcast with Hollywood in what, months? Like, when's the last time we talked? Like,
I don't know, but it ain't been long enough.
And all I know is that Ryan Tannehill's MVP train has just skyrocketed since the last time I talked to you. So I don't know what to say.
My mama said don't hate nobody, but she didn't meet your ass, that's for sure.
Come on, I can't go a podcast without needling you about Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, I know.
He got Julio Jones since last time we talked.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
He's got AJ Brown and Julio Jones. I know, we're just supposed to talk rookies. Sorry.
I feel like Julio Jones is going to be like wanting to feast this year, though. Like I think he's going to be hungry.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So you put him, Derrick Henry, and AJ Brown are in an MMA ring and see who comes out.
Right.
I don't know. My money would be on Derrick Henry, though. That dude.
Yeah, probably.
Some of his workouts are just crazy. But
even, I don't know, like with AJ Brown and Julio, I mean, they just probably look at each other kind of funny. Like, what are we going to do here with Derrick Henry? Yeah, I don't even know if they'd want to take that on, to be honest.
Yeah. Maybe they would double team. They would tag team and try to take him out, and then they would, you know, fight it out themselves. Now, that's a strategy I would use.
I like
take out Derrick Henry, and then, you know, one on one.
That sounds fair.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
So let's go to Hollywood, because maybe I can get you to mess this up, and then
Dan can
mock you.
Yes, I love doing that.
Feel like that's the way this is gonna go. These poor guys. So like, who, if you're doing an IDP rookie mock, like, all seriousness, who is that guy this year that you have to take it like the 101, and is it a tough decision for you?
Not really for me, but go ahead, Hollywood. I'll I'll defer to you.
Now the pressure's on.
I don't think it's hard for me either.
Ready?
No. One. Yeah. Do it. Do it.
Two, three. Michael Parsons. There you go.
But with that said,
good housekeeping.
We're on the same page. It didn't seem that hard for us, but
yeah.
Some of the ADP, not mock drafts, but actual live league drafts that I've been covering, there's been some discrepancies about it, believe it or not. There's been three different ones that have went one, two, or three.
Well, I Zaven Collins and Jamin Davis.
Yeah.
Depends on which one you like better. I mean, I would go Parsons first just because I think Dallas is trying to change things up big time. And there's no guarantee that Jalen Smith or Van Der Esch are even going to be in their plans beyond this year.
Right.
If they're even in their plans this year too much. Because they drafted Dallas drafted two guys, which I guess we'll talk about the other one later. But Parsons is going to play. They didn't draft him that high.
So, quick question before Dan picks here. Do you guys have any leagues that you play in that aren't IDP?
I do one with you, Swags and Finero. We do. We have a Debbie league together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Dynasty Predators. Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. So then do you have any that are IDP, but like aren't like as high a level? I guess what I'm getting at, the end question here, I'll just skip it. Do you have any leagues where like you're in the third or fourth round and you're like, why is Michael Parsons sitting here in our rookie draft?
I have some that like two or if you only have like one or two starting, you know, three starting IDP spots, then, you know, you might take a guy late. But the one league I have hasn't drafted yet, but that's you have three starters. So it's kind of, and I kind of have made the point to the league, it's kind of makes it irrelevant because everybody's going to have studs at every position. It's almost like playing in a, you know, eight team, you know.
That was my follow-up question. What's the sweet spot? How many IDP players do you think is the sweet spot where you're, you know, I think a lot of IDP guys like kind of say start with three and then you'll kind of like dig it and you'll start to add to it. So I know that that's probably going to be your advice too, but eventually when does the saturation start to thin out and the picks that you have a little more value for that reason? Is it six? Is it eight? Like, where does it like kind of settle for you?
11 is the only way to play for me.
11.
Yep.
Start a whole defense.
Yep.
And that's really the, there's other leagues I'm in that don't do that, but if I had to set up a league and start 11, you know,
and Finaro said it, that's exactly how I got into IDP is I'd played offensive only for years and heard about IDP and I had to check it out. And the first league I joined was, I think it was an NFL.com league, and it was three positions, one defensive lineman, one linebacker, one defensive back. And I was like, well, if there was more to this, I would really like this. And the next year when it come around, I jumped off the deep end head first and never looked back. So
he dove into that like a glass of Crown Royal Peach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very nice, Dan. Very nice.
He knows me too well.
I do. You spend, 4 years doing a podcast with somebody, you get to know their ins and outs, so to speak.
I was going
to
say.
So with that said, if you had to guess, because I think we all, everybody here saw Hollywood teeter-tottering a little bit. Who do you think that guy was in his head that he was kind of having a tough time between Michael Parsons and...
I would say Zaven Collins is probably the other guy that he was thinking about, especially since Campbell was waived and has since moved on to Green Bay. That opened up a spot for him in a prime spot. Actually, Hicks was – well, if Campbell went to Green Bay, Hicks just got released, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He hasn't signed with anybody,
right? No, he's not.
Yeah, I was going to say. I am not as nearly training camp is when I'll start, you know, digging into all these.
So is he right, Hollywood? Is that who you were teetering on? How well does he know you? Like, it was a dating game here. I don't know if we can keep you guys together much longer.
I broke up with him. We're through. He's pretty close. I mean, for me, I agree. It's Parsons all day. If I'm in that spot, I'm taking Parsons. But like I said, some of the ADP, and I've probably got, 30, 40 real drafts that's come in so far this year. There's been two other players that have pushed Parsons for that top spot. Zaven Collins is one, and then Jamin Davis has been the other.
Here's another rookie question for you. IDP, the most valuable IDP position, is that the linebacker?
Yes.
The end, defensive end? Like what? Or am I just am I asking such a question that's just too hard to answer that? That's like saying, what's more valuable, wide receiver or running back?
It depends on the league set. We go back to league settings all the time because, every league, it seems like an IDP is kind of unique. You know, people like to put their own twists on their leagues. And you know, with customizable scoring, it's you can go crazy with it. We try to, in the leagues that I do, I try to balance out the linemen with the linebackers and safeties and corners so that the top guys compete with not only the top guys on defense, but also compete with offensive players. So, like, you know, you have a good mix. You should try to.
How would you suggest people do that if that's something they're looking to try to balance within their leagues? Not necessarily tweak to the, and you can tweak it if you want, but just to kind of balance it.
So to simply put it, you bump up D tackles points specifically. Like MFL, you can go in and each position you can make a certain, you can move tackles up. So for, defensive tackles and defensive ends, you may want to bump their tackle numbers up or sack numbers up. That way they're more balanced. You can even kind of lower the linebacker points if you want to make tackles pretty high. You can lower the points for linebackers so that they kind of are in the middle. And then passes defended for defensive backs is what I like to bump up. So that kind of gives those elite guys are knocking the ball down. You know, you can actually use a skilled play by a DB instead of just, a tackle. Sometimes it falls into the laps because if the guy's catching the ball, he grabs him and brings it down. So your terrible corners oftentimes get a lot of points, but rewarding those with a lot of knockdown passes and stuff is a way I like to reward. But bumping up those positions that aren't linebacker sometimes help because linebacker is the deepest scoring and seems to get the most opportunity for scoring plays. And your box safeties too. So safeties, you don't have to bump up as much. You can bump them up a little bit, but
I kind of equate the defensive tackle premium, quote unquote, to like a tight end premium. You're kind of bumping them up to give them that advantage.
Yeah,
that's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
And are your rookie drafts, obviously they're mixed, right? Your offensive and defensive players at the same time. So where does this year, for example, where does Parsons fit in with the offensive players? Assuming it's also, let's say, super flex.
So just I'm going to butt in here a little bit here because I have played in an IDP league, believe it or not. Dave,
Yo, and Dave.
I know. I was just enjoying sitting back here. But no, I'm going to cut in here and say
put the popcorn down.
16 in a 16 team league. This started up. The rookie draft was different. We got Zaven Collins at 203. Or no, that's when Micah Parsons went off at 203. Then we got Zaven Collins at like 207, and we're really happy where that to get him there. After all, all the offensive players are back, and like you said, you guys definitely said Micah Parsons is the obvious choice, but that athleticism, that upside for Zaven is exciting, I would think, right? And the opportunity too, right?
That's like literally the dead spot.
How many teams?
Every rookie draft is right around that area, like and it's right around 205, 207,
especially 16, in Superflex.
16 teams.
Yeah, and Superflex, 16 good. Team. Oh, yeah, so that's like pick 20.
Yeah, that's good value
that they came up.
Yeah,
especially in Superflex, because now Daryl has a little bit different scheme than I do. My first round, I don't even think about defense. Like it's an offensive player all day for me, and especially Superflex, because especially this year, one of the five quarterbacks, if they slip to like 8 or 9, you're grabbing them immediately. So, and then there's still plenty of depth. Once you get, that dead zone you talked about, that's where you start looking at your elite defenders and you can, grab an elite defender instead of,
Diami Brown.
I don't know. Yeah. Yes. You're reaching for somebody that you hope pans out you know, hopefully you're not taking Tamarion Terry because he's in a little bit of trouble.
So yeah, I mean, you were talking about it. Micah Parsons, me and Dan said, was the 101. He's been going at an average of 14.9.
Okay.
Which is a little higher than the past couple of years, because for reference, Chase Young was at 12.4. The year before, Devin Bush, Devin White were 12.2 and 12.3. But those 2 years, I think those were the clear-cut guys. Bush and White, you had Chase Young. Parsons is the clear-cut this year, but I don't think he's as clear-cut as those years, because you got Davis, you got Collins cutting in. So, yeah, in a 16-team league, Spaceman, that's – if you're getting him that way, that's good value, man.
When was your draft for to get Zaven Collins there? Because
it was after the NFL draft. It was after the
right
NFL
after.
Draft, I remember that.
Because it took a couple weeks for Arizona to kind of thin out that room. So at the time of the draft, everybody's thinking, what are they taking Zaven Collins for? They have like five linebackers that are starter capacity on that team. And then they thinned out the middle linebacker spot. And that gave him a prime spot, which is going to be money. So I think as drafts get later, I think you might see Zaven Collins go over Parsons just simply because of this year. Like, you know, if you're looking at an immediate playmaker, I mean, I think Parsons long term could be outscoring Collins, just because I think they're going to rush Parsons a little bit more this year, especially. But I think Collins' ADP will probably, you know, rise as the year goes on, because people will say, hold on, they lost Hicks and Campbell, and he's slid into that spot. They'll kind of look at that and say, you know, he should probably go ahead of Parsons, because if you're looking for an immediate. Now, if you're looking long term, Parsons is probably the better linebacker. But if you look at the NFL draft in past years, you had a defensive end go one or two or in the top four.
Right.
And those guys are that's a premium position. This year, the defensive end, there's nobody that really is the guy I have to get.
Quiddy Pay, maybe, and he's not.
But he's not a slam dunk. I mean,
a native Rhode Islander. So my home state, or not my home state, but where I live now. But he went at 102. He went like the IDP player two. But then we were able to, like, at 212 and 213, we went Jalen Phillips and Owusu. I don't know what his
JOK.
Owusu Koamora.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. So we felt we also in the startup draft, we attacked offensive players, and we were going to rely heavily on the rookie players to supplement our IDP, even though, like, there was no when you guys say it's safe to say there's, like you said, there's no premium, just standout IDPs. There's no like the defensive end for the Washington that came out. You know, there's no Chase Young. There's no Miles Garrett. I think that's kind of what, people were kind of like a little light on the IDP of things. And it was a good, for people who needed it, it was a good time to capitalize.
It definitely was. I just look at the defensive ends, and there's none of, I mean, Phillips in Miami, but it depends again on your league setup, because on MFL, sometimes the position designations mess with you too, because you're looking at Miami, they kind of run a New England hybrid, and you don't want to get stuck with a linebacker in Jalen Phillips, because he's not going to be nearly as valuable when he's just rushing. I mean, I hope they kind of look at, you know, hand in the ground statistics, but as a rookie, it's hard to really pinpoint. You got to go based on what the team says he is. I think.
Yeah. Are there any IDP players that you think, like just a couple names that you don't think people are talking enough about? Some names you could kind of throw out there for our listeners that might have some nice juiciness.
I got two names. I ain't gonna say that people don't know about them, but it's two that I'm really high on before the draft, and I've seen a lot of traction in drafts with these two, and they're both linebackers. Derek Barnes, linebacker for the Detroit Lions, and Ernest Jones, linebacker, help me, Dan, for
That's the Rams.
Yes, the Rams. My brain went just blank. But, yeah, those are two that, you know, I thought they could see some serious playing time if they landed in the right situation. Both of them did. Both of them hit home runs with Detroit and the Rams. And it's I've kind of seen that in rookie drafts. You know, they kind of went when I first started tracking. As soon as the NFL draft, I said, hey, send me your rookie drafts. And you might get them in rookie drafts, and they were kind of late. But within the last month, those two names have probably skyrocketed more than any names in IDP right now as far as rookies.
Yeah, and I like these are a couple deep, like seventh round flyers. But Patrick Jones from Minnesota, he was a good player out of Pitt, and he went pretty – I mean, he went day two, late day two. And he I think, with – they don't really have anybody else there except Daniel Hunter, and he's coming back. Hopefully he's healthy. We kind of thought that last year, the guy opposite of him, but then he never played. So it really hurt that defense. But I think Patrick Jones could be a good pass rusher. The other guy,
you guys are talking about like as sleepers?
These are deep, like seventh round, end of your draft.
Just so people kind of know that like we're not ranking them with like.
Oh, no. These are guys
that we started and got to technically two. These are guys like far like we.
Well,
took a turn.
The two so I mentioned have went pretty high. I mean, well, I don't want to say pretty high. They're going – I didn't mean to cut you off, Dan. Let's see. Ernest Jones is going at pick 48. Derek Barnes is going at pick 64. Mm-hmm.
So if I have Michael Parsons at one and then we went Zaven Collins at two, presumably I feel like Hollywood was going to go Jamin Davis at three. Is that safe to say?
Yep, that's your top three.
And then do any of these players that we just mentioned though like get into that fourth spot or that high archy, and then can we separate them a little bit from those sleepers, I guess?
Those you know, your Parsons, your Davis, and your Collins, that's your top three. And they're pretty much ahead of everybody else. That's a tier break right there.
Yeah. After those three, I think it's then you kind of look and you could go in one of two ways. So if I was going here, I'd probably go Jalen Phillips at four, you know, if we're volleying back and forth, because he's the top defensive end prospect in my opinion. And Miami's going to be a nice spot because they shook some stuff loose. They really, I mean, they traded for, who did they trade for from Houston? Traded Shaq Lawson for McKinney. So really they got rid of a pass rusher. So Phillips has a wide open door. It just really sucks that he paid to move all his stuff from Miami to California and then had to move all his stuff from California back to Miami. That's just tragic. So who would you take at five then, Hollywood? Would you break the safety bubble here?
I don't think I would. I mean, it would be tempting, and I guess it would kind of – it's kind of tempting, but it would depend on my team's need in a way.
Yeah, I get that.
I kind of think you got this top tier Parsons, Collins, Davis – tier break. Then after that, if I can't get one of those top three, four guys, I'm looking at, okay, what's my need and what's the top thing there? So if you're taking Phillips, I'm kind of looking, okay, there's the first defensive end. How deep is this class? For me, I think I'm going to come back. If I'm picking, what is this? This is five. So I think I'm going to come back and take linebacker Nick Bolton for the Kansas City Chiefs. Me and Dan has talked about this. I feel like since we've freaking started podcasting, Kansas City and their horrible linebacker woes, you know, they've had
Willie Gay ever going to play?
Yeah, I know. You know, everybody was on him last year.
I still have a ton of him from last year.
I do too. And I still think there's, not to get off track, but I still think there's value there with him. So don't give up on him yet. But I think Nick Bolton is your guy. He's an SEC guy, just eats up tackles, going to fit what they want to do, especially with their defensive line. If I don't want to mess up here, but if I needed a defensive end, I would be going Quiddy Pay, the defensive end for Michigan right here for the Colts, because I think with him playing with DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, in front of Darius Leonard and those guys – there's a lot to like about him right there.
How quick do you think these guys hit?
Defensive end, it really depends.
Yeah, that's
Marcus
tough.
Davenport still hasn't hit, and it's been like 2-3 years. Like, yeah.
Fornero mentioned Diami Brown, who we're kind of down on a little bit, or I am. I don't know. I don't want to bring them into this unless they want to be.
We're kind of down on him a little bit here
at Rookie Fever this week. So, I mean, is this a section of the draft where maybe you would take Diami Brown, or are you still taking like Jalen Phillips and Nick Bolton?
I would take Bolton, Phillips, and Pay ahead of Brown.
Okay. Same for you, Dan?
I don't know. I don't know about Nick Bolton. I'd probably take the chance in the wide receiver at that point.
Those two are probably close. Diami Brown and Nick Bolton, they're probably close.
See, I lean more offense than he does.
I lean defense.
He'll take defense whenever. He
doesn't. What did you always used to tell me, Dan? Honey Badger don't care.
Yeah, that's
are you
true.
Two down on Brown with me? Dave and Fornero, are you guys in on this with me?
I faded him ever since the draft, actually.
I don't think you were in before me.
What about you, Dave?
I have not quite faded him. I just think I'm a little bit more realistic that, you know, he's a third round pick. His quarterback situation isn't set. And while, you know, they added Adam Humphries, they've added Curtis Samuel. All that said, he does have a role as the field stretcher in that offense still. So that is at least something for him. So
it's funny. Like last week, I said I was going to go sell all my shares because I felt like I had a lot and I only have one. So it's kind of relieved.
I think I only have one. I think it was a Devy league where I drafted him in as a Devy and he's on my roster now. So it's kind of like I'll just kind of wait and see on him. And
I don't think I have any him.
The thing that I like about him is Fitzmagic don't care. He'll just chuck it like to whoever.
True.
Like, he doesn't care who you are. If you're open, he'll find a way.
Yeah, the only thing that worries, if the quarterback takes his job, he will cheer you on from the sideline.
Absolutely.
He doesn't care a bit.
But that's why I've picked up a lot of Taylor Heinicke. We have some drafts that are rookie and veteran, and I've snuck him in like the third or fourth round when you know it's a crapshoot anyway. So I might as well grab a quarter, especially Superflex best ball. You might as well just grab a quarterback that might be able to start, you know?
Yeah. I love that.
I kind of feel like the wide receiver group is a little bit deep, so I can grab some guys like a Josh Palmer later. And I think that's why I have missed Diami Brown because, you know, if I can't get one of the top guys, I'm kind of waiting because I know there's players like Josh Palmer or whatever a little later. Which
Hollywood's just saying that because he's from Tennessee.
Well, he is from Tennessee, but I think for me, that's where I kind of jump to my IDP a little bit. If I'm not getting these top guys, then I think there's a lot. I don't want to say every league, but I see it in a number of leagues where it's IDP across the board, you know, a lot of players, but fantasy managers, they leave points in IDP out there. I'm in a couple of leagues where it's full-blown IDP, balanced scoring, and they hit these rookie drafts, and they will freaking load up on offense. And I'm like, really, you're going to take a wide receiver 4-5 over a linebacker 1? I'll take the linebacker all day. You're going to leave him out there? I'll pounce on him.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's looking for that big hit, man.
Most of the leagues I've been in for a few years, so I kind of know the tendencies of a lot of owners. Right. So it's depends on the league whether or not I'm hitting offense or defense. If I know they're going to hammer offense, then I know I got to go in and grab my flyer running backs, you know, that, you know, a couple injuries away, they could start. Before I grab maybe, you know, like, you know, my number 6 or 7 linebacker, I'm like, you know, I'd rather have the shot at a running, you know,
Dwayne Eskridge or something.
I mean, I know James Robinson is the outlier. He's not the rule by any means, but you look at people who grabbed him really late last year and they ended up with a league winner, depending on how good their team was besides that. But yeah, you never know with these, especially running back. I love going running back late in rookie drafts because you never know what happens.
Right.
Where are we in this mock, Swag? 6?
Six, I think. Nick Bolden was picked by Hollywood, and Dan hated that pick, didn't take the opportunity to mock him.
I'd rather have a couple other linebackers.
Well, you're up.
But I'd go Richie Grant, Atlanta. It's his show. Like, he's going to play, and he's going to play a ton, because Atlanta might be rebuilding so they can get a quarterback of the future next year. So he's going to have plenty of opportunity. And he was a day two pick. I don't think there was any first round safeties. And there were some safeties that a lot of people have ranked ahead of him. But I think when I look at safety, opportunity is what I care about the most. And he's going to be a box safety. He's not going to be, in coverage 100% of the time. So,
yeah, opportunity is a huge key to all of this. Yeah.
And he's not one of the 10 Raider safeties that were drafted. For Christ's sake. Like, I don't know what the Raiders were doing.
Hollywood, if you want, you can take Nick Bolden again at 7 because he fell to you.
Yes, he fell to you at 7. He would have.
Yeah, I mean,
he would have fell to you for a while because there's a couple other guys I would take.
Well, I mean, he's. Yeah, you'd be surprised because in rookie drafts, he's going, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's the 7th IDP off the board. Yeah, 7th off the board, and he's going at pick 32.
Let's see if he takes the guy I want out of my team. But
I think if I'm here, I think I'm going safety too. I would have probably went with Richie Grant.
But I already took
him. You already took him. Based on what I'm seeing, this is a little early, but I'm okay with that. I would take Javon Holland, safety for Miami Dolphins right now.
He was the top safety off the board.
So. Yeah, he's top safety off the board.
And they cut Bobby McCain like the day after the draft. So
they did, and he's been going average of 45.8, so that's a little bit early, but the trend over the last 2 or 3 weeks has been a lot higher than that. He's probably around pick 32, 33. So the opportunity's there. Flores, that Belichick disciple, builds through defense. Rashad Jones is gone. McCain's gone. Kind of the same stuff with Richie Grant. He's going to step in and start right away. Maybe not the same type of player that Richie Grant is. I think Richie Grant's more of a physical in-the-box type. Where Holland's a little more of a coverage safety, but man, he's a ball hawk. I mean, he lit it up for Oregon the whole time he was there. And you plug him in to that kind of defense, it's the same thing in New England that they had in New England. You had Devin McCourty back there at safety, just a ball hawk for Ryan Logan for however long. So I think Holland's going to be that same type of player in this defensive scheme.
Love that pick. Love that pick.
what are we doing at 8?
We've made Spaceman happy. We can just call it quits right now.
I'd go JOK. I'm not even going to try to say his name. But JOK from Cleveland. Jeremiah. And he's a coverage guy, so he's going to be a three-down linebacker, more than likely. And I think Cleveland was trying Mack Wilson, trying Taki Taki. Mm-hmm. And they found out that they just weren't good enough. They did sign Walker, so they did get the middle taken care of. But I think JOK can do a little bit of everything. So
he can.
He's from Notre Dame, so Hollywood doesn't like him.
No. Well, he's from Notre Dame. Screw the Irish, but whatever. What do they know? He's going at pick 25. So if you're getting him where Dan's picking him now, that's great value. My concern with him is, what are they doing with him exactly? I think he's that outside line.
They have to be creative.
They're going to have to be, because you're going to – with Clowney in the mix, which thank you for taking him away from us.
Well, yeah.
You got Clowney. He's not going to beat out Garrett, so that's your defensive ends or whatever. So he's – like Dan said, they're going to have to get creative with him and how they use him. Is he – an actual linebacker? No, I don't think he is. He's that God-forbidden word that I hate, edge.
He's an edge / safety, though. Like,
Yeah, but
he's a hybrid linebacker. Like, he's
he is, which is
He's your Mark Barron. He's your who else?
And I'm not happy with any of those guys. If he's a Mark Barron,
if they put up points, if they're on the field 100% of snaps, then
I don't give a damn how many snaps he's on the field. If he's a Mark Barron, you can have him. You can have
Mark Barron was productive. Nobody's
ever told you guys this, but there is, and I mean this sincerely. I'm really happy to have you guys on here tonight. There is a magic to like watching you guys together and just how you feed off each other.
I still say this was a setup. And, like, I will go to my grave. This is a setup.
It took seriously, years to develop though, this. Man. If you listen to some of the first episodes of
they were horrible.
The Edge Crushers, yeah, we were pretty bad. We were talking all over each other.
But I mean, seriously, I truly appreciate it. I want to make sure, though, before we get out of here, Dan, I want you to have some time to talk about your league. I believe there's still some openings in your Eliminator.
Yes.
And then we'll throw it to Hollywood. I'm at Swag00G. At Artbark TV, at FF underscore Spaceman. Always appreciate you guys, but we're just going to give it to these guys for the final thoughts tonight.
All right. So if you check out the pinned tweet, at SeahawksDan8 is my Twitter handle. There's a Google form there that you can sign up for. Thankfully, I've had some help from Orange Man, you know, always also known as Johnny the Greek. He filled an entire league practically by himself. So he went out, recruited hard, and got me 18 this year because of the added year or added week to the year this year. 18 competitors to face off in an IDP only. We took Hollywood's in that one. So he will compete still. Even though last year, Julie took him down. She joined the league specifically to take down Hollywood, and she did.
Yep, wow. She talked the shit, and she backed it up. No shit.
But there's six other leagues that need some love, and we have about – it's funny because and Swags, I know you'll get a kick out of this. The Superflex ones are almost full because everybody loves Superflex. And the one QB one seemed to be lacking. So I might have to just change them to Superflex or something. But with 18 teams, I don't know that Superflex is going to be possible. Right. I might have to make it 0-2 because for quarterbacks,
yeah,
some teams might not get a quarterback if they, you know, an 18 team snake draft, you know, you might not.
But they'd still fill quicker.
They would, yes, because sure. Everybody loves Superflex.
Even if they don't get a quarterback, that's their fault.
And I love Superflex too. So
they should have joined the one quarterback league then.
Yeah, I mean, there are 12 spots left in that. There's some different variations on IDP. There's IDP 1-2-3 scoring for those of you who like to try to, you know, a simpler. It has, I think it's three, I think it's nine off. There's three linemen, three linebackers, three defensive backs, any mix of defensive line, could be defensive end, could be defensive tackle. And same with the DBs, could be a corner or safety, the starting spots. These are all best ball. They're all in MFL. They're similar to John Bosch's Eliminators. In fact, him and Peter Gent, the FF German, helped me put these together a couple years back, and I've been running with it since.
Awesome. So, and it's for a great cause.
It is for a great cause. The charities we donate to, $110 from each league goes to Autism Speaks or the Autism Self-Advocacy Network. We kind of split the winnings between those two charities. And we've had some great winners in the past that have also donated their winnings. You do not have to feel obligated to do that, but if you want to, I will gladly donate on your behalf the rest of the prize fund if you choose. Now, the kicker is if the celebrity wins, they're automatically donated. So if Johnny the Greek wins his IDP Eliminator, nice. He has already said he would donate his winnings, but the celebrity, just like in the John Bosch Eliminators, their portion gets donated automatically if they win.
Well, you know, I'm celebrity everywhere I go, so I'm donating. So just saying.
Hollywood's in the one QB IDP positional league. He's the celebrity for that one. So come beat Hollywood.
Yeah, come on.
I'll
tell you, like I told Julie and all of them last year, I was like, hey, come on, come get you some. And you know what, Julie, she got me last year.
She did. Took you down.
She did.
She was very proud too.
Yeah, and Hollywood. She should be.
To Hollywood, tell them anything you're doing, where to follow you. and when you're going to get that star on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, I can't wait till I get that star. I'm going to put my hands. You know, I might even put a footprint down there for him.
Nice.
That would be great. One hand, 1 foot, just bam. But, yeah.
Do it like Twister style, like you're playing.
Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, I love everything that Dan does with Autism Speaks. I get them mixed up. Braden or...
Yeah, my son Braden has autism, so that's my inspiration for doing the leagues.
Love it.
I would be also remiss. I'm sorry, Hollywood. I'm going to cut
you off. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because
it's what you do. I'm used to it. Go ahead.
The second year of the IDP Invitational is happening as well. I think this is the last week for signups.
Yes.
So you can go to idpguys.org to sign up. We welcome beginners. Nate kind of asks you how many years you've been playing IDP so he can kind of make like a beginner division, a more advanced division. I think, there's some, expert level divisions for those that are seasoned vets. And it's a mix of people around our industry as well as, well, I'm not really industry anymore, but people in the industry and fans and people who, are working and putting out content, as well as people that just love IDP. So that was the second annual, and we plan on keeping that going. Nate's kind of taken off and run with that. I kind of was just the pitch man in the beginning to get it started. But
awesome, man, love it.
Go ahead, Hollywood. I concede my time to you now.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Like I said, you do such good stuff with Autism Speaks. Love Braden, near and dear to my heart ever since you started this. So I kind of took that up on myself. I almost feel like he's my boy. So, I got to help him out. Plus, he gives you straight up hell. So,
he's a good kid, man. He's always happy.
He is a good kid, but join the Eliminators, join the IDP Invitational. As far as me, you can find me at idpguys.org. I'm doing the top 700 combined rankings, offense, defense. I'm doing top 100 IDP Devy only. So if you're in Campus to Canton or Devy leagues, I've got a top 100 IDP for you there. I do my writings. Of course, IDP Nation, it's gotten a little better since I've got rid of Dan. I kind of miss him, but don't tell me. But
it's anyway, explicit since I left, apparently.
It was always explicit.
It had the explicit label before. People.
No, that's your fault. It was always explicit. You just chose not to recognize it. I get that shit out of the way early. I'm like, hey, this is what it is. But you can check me and Kyle over at IDP Nation and leave him alone, Dan. Leave him alone. He does not need help. And like I said, if you're into Devy, check out Devy IDP Grind. It's a IDP college podcast that we've done. It's growing. Got a lot of player interviews and stuff like that over there. And then Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, I'm everywhere. I'm not hard to find. So
nice, man. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thanks a ton. Thanks a ton for jumping on Rookie Fever.
Absolutely.
You got to have us back. I hate it that we had to run tonight, but I've got a prior engagement coming up.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm sure everybody here was. I had an awesome time with you guys, honestly.
Glad to hear.
But yeah, let me know, and I'm glad to come back anytime.
The magic is still here, Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
I feel the magic.
Jesus Christ. I can't. I just stepped back in 1970 with the Bee Gees.
Yes.
My favorite part of the episode is when Hollywood got the back scratcher out. Was just
that was the best. Was that a ruler or a yardstick?
No,
that was legit back scratcher.
That's a legit back scratcher. I love this thing, man.
It's very handy.
Hey, my son bought this for me for Father's Day, and I'm telling you, it works like a freaking jewel.
I have my school schedule in the background there in case you wanted to know when everything was.
Oh, my God. Who are you? Why do you keep talking?